just got to talk into the bottom, like a mic.
There we go.
Yep. It's going?
Yep.
All right. Hi, this is JJ from Decent Exposure Radio and Josh from Pirate Radio, both nutritious parts of Kick-Ass Friday on 90.3 FM WXLV Schnecksville. We are joined by Jimmy from Polar Bear Club. Happy belated Thanksgiving. Were you guys able to do anything special for the holiday?
We got to go home. We played in New York City the day before, and we're from Rochester and Syracuse, New York, which is about 6 and 5 hours away from New York City. So we just hoofed it home after the show, hung at home on Thanksgiving Day, and then drove back to New Jersey for the next day of the tour.
Cool. I didn't know how that would work out if you guys were going to be far away, but well, that's good.
There originally was a show that day, but it got canceled. So we just were like, we got to go home, you know.
All right. Have you been able to do anything fun in Allentown so far?
No.
There's nothing fun to do here.
Exactly.
I walked around first. I walked down Hamilton Street a little bit, and I was looking for a bookstore, and I looked up on my phone, and you know, when you're looking for a bookstore or something on your phone, 9 times out of 10, it's probably a porno DVD place. This time it was, yeah.
So
I was looking for just a bookstore, and I walked down. I was like, it was like half a mile or something down the road, and I was like, please don't be a porn place, please don't be a porn place. Yeah, and it was a porn place. Yeah. So I lucked out there. But
So tonight, well, you guys just got finished playing upstairs, and I was pleasantly surprised to see how the crowd reacted to you, since this is kind of like a metal tour.
Yeah.
So how has the tour gone so far?
Mainly nights like tonight. Tonight was a great night, you know, and it's like, generally there's a handful of kids who are there for us and know us, singing along, dancing, doing whatever. And then there's a sort of other faction of kids who are just like, I like music, you know, I'm going to bounce around and do whatever and get into this band I don't know about. And that's the whole point of this tour for us. You know, it's an exposure tour. And I think it's been a success. You know, a lot of kids, the kids at this tour are young, which is good because, you know, they're sort of, you know, open to newer bands. Whereas when you get older, you sort of have your bands that you're with and you're like, you know, no new music for me. Thank you. I like the bands I grew up on, nothing else. But kids here are generally like high schoolers.
Yeah.
And I mean, we are used to playing to our peers, you know, we're used to playing, you know, early 20s to the early 30s. And it's kind of cool and new for us to play to these young kids and have them respond to us.
Well, that's great. I'm really glad to see that everyone's receiving you guys so well, because I noticed you were a little out of your element when I saw the bill for this tour, so that's awesome. Besides this tour, what would you say the best bill you guys have played as a band? What was it?
Well, I think this tour has been awesome, and it's been great for our band, too. And we've done a lot of exposure tours, and it's sort of hard to tell which ones are actually working and which ones aren't. This one, I think, worked, there's that. But the other one that I think really worked well for our band and was super fun was 2 summers ago, we did the Gig Life Tour, which was this band Drive A, and Fireworks, and 4 Years Strong and Set Your Goals. And that tour was great for Polar Bear Club, and we made some of the best friends in those bands, you know, to this day. And that is one of the best tours we've ever done. That and Warped Tour, actually, were 2 of the best, most fun tours ever.
Yeah, we saw Set Your Goals a while ago, and they seemed like nice guys.
They're great guys, yeah, they're really good guys.
Okay. All right, so no matter how unattainably big the band or mysteriously obscure, what would be your dream lineup of bands to share a stage with?
Oh my God, I love this question so much. I do, I really do. Because it's like, it just makes me laugh to think that I could even play with these bands. I would love to tour with Jimmy Eat World. They're probably my top 3 favorite bands of all time. If we're getting real fantasy, like really, really fantasy, we can go with like Elvis Costello and The Replacements too. So Polar Bear Club, let's see how we would bill it. It'd probably be billed, okay, Polar Bear Club, The Replacements, Jimmy Eat World, and Elvis Costello. I guess that would be the proper billing.
That'd be awesome.
That makes sense, but good.
We'll put in a word, yeah, we'll see what happens.
Or what's your favorite Replacements while we're on the subject?
My favorite song or album? Okay, I'll say this. I think Let It Be is my favorite album. I think the good songs on Tim, though, are better than any song on Let It Be, if that makes sense.
It does.
So, like, you know, Here Comes the Regular and Bastards of Young and, Swinging Party, those songs are awesome. And I think they're better than any song on Let It Be. But Let It Be, I think, is a better complete album.
Definitely. I think for me, Tim might be my favorite just because of those songs.
Yeah, totally.
And I think Pleased to Meet Me has a lot of great stuff, like Alex Chilton. That kind of makes the album for me.
Yeah.
But whatever. Just had to get.
I don't listen to Pleased to Meet You that much, honestly. I really only listen to Tim and Let It Be and a little bit of Sorry, Ma, I Forgot to Take Out the Trash. But yeah, Tim and Let It Be are just like my jams. But our tour manager is a big Replacements fan as well. He likes Pleased to Meet You too.
I'm going to try to get the pirate into them at some point. So,
yeah.
All right. Your first album, Sometimes Things Just Disappear, had a lot of great stuff on it, but the follow-up, Chasing Hamburg, was even more consistent and accessible in, I think, some band members' words in interviews. What would you say the big difference in the creative process was between the albums?
Well, it was fast writing Chasing Hamburg. It was maybe too fast. We had Sometimes Things Just Disappear had a sort of scattered release, so it sort of released in March of 2008, I want to say, or 2007. I'm bad with years, and then it sort of had another like vinyl release, which was, you know, a lot of people who got into Polar Bear Club got into on that vinyl release, and then shortly after that, Chasing Hamburg came out. So a lot of people think the albums came out pretty close together, but in actuality, there was a big chunk of time in between the two. And for us, we were just like, we need to get a new record out. So we started touring full time. We had about a month off, and we were like, let's just take this month and go every day, write, and write this record. And it was really fun and hard, but it was really fast. And I think that shows on the record too, because it is concise. The songs are shorter. I think the songs cater more to a live setting, just because when we wrote and recorded Sometimes Things Just Disappear, we weren't really playing that many shows. I mean, we were doing weekends here and there, but not like consistent touring at all. But going into Hamburg, we had been touring for, you know, a couple months straight. And so we really honed in on that sort of live feeling and sound. And I think that comes out on the album. I think that's the major difference. But in terms of writing it, Polar Bear Club is a really collaborative band. You know, the two guitar players and myself, we write the parts and the songs, and then we all sort of pick them apart and construct them together as a band. But yeah, it's really how we've done it the whole time.
So I'm going to say this before I go any farther in the interview, because I wanted to say this earlier. I have this mental error whenever I play your stuff on my radio show, where I always say Chasing Hamburger. So I'm going to say that at some point in the interview.
I like it.
It's ridiculous, but it happens every time. Yeah. So there's my warning.
It's a weird out parody, I think, if we ever get to that point.
So you guys got to work with producer Matt Bales on this last album, and he's epic with a lot of the bands I really listen to, like Planes Mistaken for Stars and Russian Circles and stuff. So what did he bring to the table?
He is really just a live-sounding producer and engineer, and he is going to make you sound like you sound on stage on your best night, you know, which is really an awesome quality, whereas other producers might sort of, you know, pump you up a bit and sort of overproduce. He really is almost sort of a samurai of engineering and production. Just, he knows just when to intervene and just when to step back, and he knows really how to make it sound raw and good. You know, it's a good sounding album, but it doesn't sound like it's not Polar Bear Club. It doesn't sound like it's crazily affected or sort of over the top with the production. Which we liked, you know, and all the, you know, Minus the Bear and Isis and all those awesome bands. We really liked those recordings. And it was sort of a wild card, oddball choice for us to go to him, you know, because he's never really done a band like us before, I don't think. And so we were like, you know, this is sort of risky and adventurous. Let's sort of explore this territory. That's something we like to do, you know, take the weird choices. And that was one of them for sure, but I think it paid off.
I think it definitely paid off. So this question is actually for you, so I'm glad we got to interview you. In the making of the Living Saints music video, there's a lot going on, and it kind of looked like you were standing in the same spot for hours on end, lip syncing in front of a green screen. Is that kind of what it was like, and how was the experience?
Yeah, generally. But it was long. It was, I think we shot, like, I want to say 4 days total. And it was weird because we did the first day, it was about 8 hours, and it was not, we did all the band stuff that day. Those little snippets of the band you see in the video, that was an 8 hour day right there. And so we did that in late September. And then we went on tour for 2 months, came back and did another 3 days of just me, or it might've been 2 days, I can't remember. But yeah, I was all over. I mean, one of the biggest setups of the video was the part where you see the water come on me. That I was lying down on a black table, and so that was a long setup right there. That was like a 12-hour day, just that setup right there, because we had to figure out how we were going to do it, and we had this elaborate like tank that we built of clamps and tarps, like in a studio in New York, like the upstairs of a studio, and it was so crazy and fun. But yeah, generally it was like either sitting or standing in front of a green screen. Just singing, you know.
All right, so Chasing Hamburg has been out for a while, and you've been touring behind it for over a year. You're probably chomping at the bit to play new stuff. Do you guys do a lot of writing on the road, or do you do that at home in the studio? Or?
We do it at home. You know, we always say we're going to write on the road. A lot of bands say they're going to write on the road, but it's just so hard. And especially on this tour, because we're playing second, so we don't really get a sound check. The only bands that get the sound check are the last two and the first one. And so we don't really have time to get up on the stage and sort of mess around with songs and whatnot. So we do our writing at home. But yeah, we totally are working on the next record like full force right now, and just really ready to get some new songs out there. Just Chasing Hamburg. Let's see, what month is it? November? It's been out a year and a couple months. So yeah, definitely.
All right. Let's see. What do you guys do with the copious amounts of downtime that you have on the road? Because I'm sure there's a bit of that.
There's a lot, yeah. You got to learn what to do, you know, because I'm a really task-oriented person. So I do a lot of pacing, actually. I sort of walk around and I say hello to everybody and, you know, walk upstairs, walk downstairs, and pace around. But I generally try to find something to do. Like, I'll work out, or I'll go find somewhere to go, like a bookstore, or I go to the movies a lot, too, or I'll go catch a movie or something like that. But generally, just hanging around and emailing and that sort of thing. But yes, there's a lot of downtime.
All right. So you kind of answered my next question about where do you write and stuff, but preferably, let's say you didn't have to deal with who gets sound checks and all that stuff, where would you want to write?
I mean, I like writing at home, you know, in the comfortable sort of the comfort of your own time and your own space, you know. Just the sort of, I think that's one thing we're doing a bit differently this time around, is we're really taking our time. I think Matt Smith from Strike Anywhere said a great thing when we were on tour with them, that every record you do is pretty much a rebellion of the last one. And I think we're doing that totally. I mean, it's so clear, too. Like, the songs are back up in the sort of 3 to 4 minute area, whereas on Hamburg, they were really 2 and 2.5 minutes. But we're totally just taking our time with it and doing what feels good and not sort of forcing anything. Not that we did in the past, but it was stressful writing Chasing Hamburg a little bit, because we just went really hard and we were like, let's completely push ourselves and see what comes out. And when you're doing that in such a collaborative way, I mean, you're only as strong as your weakest member at that point in time, you know? So if someone's feeling stressed here and there, then that's going to bring everyone else down. So we're trying to avoid that and just sort of leisurely, you know, write this album, write as many songs as we can. Our sort of strategy is just write a bunch of songs, finish them all, record as many as we can, and then from there just sort of, you know, pick an album, you know, see what we can make an album out of, which we've never really done before. I mean, Chasing Hamburg had one B-side. I mean, that was all we recorded for that album. Sometimes everything recorded is on the album. And the same with the EP. And so we'd never really been a band that went into the studio and had all these extra tracks, extra songs. And so we're trying to be that band, I think, this time around, and see, you know, if we can have a bigger song pool to pick a stronger album out of.
So obviously it's a little early to say, but what's the direction of the new album going to be, do you think, or whatever? Was there any frontiers of music you haven't explored on previous albums and you want to do kind of on this album?
Yeah, well, it is definitely early to say. Right now we have about 5 songs written, you know, and then, you know, infinite parts demoed and songs demoed from individual members here and there that we got to put together. But it is sort of all over the spectrum. I think right now we're sort of missing, like, the heavier side of things. Maybe that won't come about, and maybe the album will be less heavier than previous attempts. But, you know, we really just sort of write what's inside of us. You know, I mean, as lame as that sounds, you know, it's like, I sort of believe that if you have the instinct to write something, you should at least write it and explore it and then analyze it later. And so that's sort of the approach we're taking. It's just, we conceived it for some reason. Let's get it out there, no questions asked, and then just sort of interpret it when we have all the songs together. And then from there, we can start being like, well, let's start making sense of this and get a direction now that we have all the songs right here in front of us. That's sort of where we're at now. Just sort of writing what we feel. I mean, we've got, you know, like, there's a really poppy song, you know, that we have now. And it's, I don't know if it'll make the album or not, but at this point, we're not really thinking about that. We just sort of wrote it and see where it goes from there.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right, I'd like to point out that I'm very stupid and I skipped the second half of this one question earlier. Yeah, well, I don't get paid, so it's okay. How do you keep your set list fresh and exciting, not only for the fans, but for yourself?
Well, it's... we generally like to play a similar set night to night, just because I believe that you get tighter as the tour goes on with the songs, but also with in between the songs. And so I like playing, if it was up to me, we'd play the same set every night on a tour. But some of the other guys are like, you know, I'd like to switch it up a little bit. So what we do is we generally have an opening block and a second block that are always the same, and then a third block that we switch around here and there, and then we close the same every night. So that third block, you know, we is our keep it fresh sort of zone in the set list. But I like... It's just a feeling thing, you know. It's like there's a confidence about just knowing what song is next without looking down at your feet to a set list, you know, and that sort of translates into the whole thing, and the crowd can pick up on that sort of thing. So I like playing a similar set every night. When we headline, I mean, because we're only playing 7 songs on this tour, or say 8, sometimes 8, but when we headline, we'll generally play like 12 to 13 songs. And that'll get a bit more, you know, switch in and out and stuff. And sometimes we'll even have like a little request spot where we just take a request from the crowd. But yeah, I mean, it's every time you play, it's a little different. So you could really play the same. And we've played the song so many times that there's like the chance of getting freshness, I think, is maybe far, far away, far gone. But I mean, it's different every night, so you know, there's different obstacles to worry about, like kids throwing things at you or shouting things at you, that sort of thing. That's the fun stuff. Yeah.
I guess we're lucky to be the second to last date on the tour, so you guys are really tight. And I didn't see anyone throw anything, so that's extra good.
That's good. Yeah.
All right. Your label Bridge 9 seems to have a very small staff. Despite that, though, they've been able to sign some pretty highly respected bands like Strike Anywhere, Crime and Stereo, rest in peace, H2O, and even briefly Newfound Glory, among many others. Have you had any extended contact with those bands and become really close with any of them?
Of the bands you just listed, I only really know Strike Anywhere and Crime and Stereo. And we love all those guys. We did a tour with Strike and Crime, and then we did another tour with Crime and Stereo before that as well. So I know those guys pretty well, and they're just all great, great, great people. I haven't seen them since they broke up, so we couldn't go to the last show because we were on tour. But we know them, and we know like Lemuria, who's on Bridge 9 now. We know Soul Control, who's on Bridge 9 now, and some of the Foundation dudes. You know, and it's all, you know, really cool. And we all sort of like, you know, it was sort of this sort of force for a while. Bridge 9 was signing these sort of interesting, weird up and coming, not weird bands, but weird signings for Bridge 9. And I think Crime and Stereo was sort of the first of that wave, and then maybe us, and then like Strike Anywhere and Lemuria and Paint It Black did a 7-inch with them as well. me too. But it was cool to be a part of something, you know, part of that sort of energy around the label. It was really cool.
Any of your label mates that you want to, you know, think should get more exposure out there, and definitely a shout out?
Well, I mean, all those bands. I mean, Lemuria and Foundation and Mother of Mercy is a band I really like too. They're just signed to Bridge Nine. Lemuria has a new album coming out very soon, and they're such an incredible band. They're from the same area as us. And we actually never really met them before, but we did a tour with them last summer and got to know them pretty well. And they're really, really genuine, awesome people.
All right, what advantages do you feel like you have being on an indie label?
Well, we have a lot of control over our band, you know. And I think, you know, there's no, like, 360 deal with an indie, of course. So we keep a lot of our own money. So we only really make money touring, which is good. You know, I like that. We don't make money off of CDs or record sales. But it's weird. I think major labels right now are a weird, strange thing. I think they're sort of adjusting now. But for a while there, I think a band like us, there was just no point in even looking into that sort of thing, just because, I mean, even from a monetary standpoint, we would have stand to make more money on an independent label than a major label. You know, a major label, you know, it's more about fast cash, I think, you know, big advances and that sort of thing. But we're trying to be a career band, you know, so we're going to do what's best for Polar Club in the long run. And, you know, right now that's indie labels.
Good. Well, now this is one I definitely had to ask because I'm a big Bad Religion fan. How did you guys become a part of that tribute album, Germs of Perfection?
Well, we have a lot of friends at Epitaph Records, and there's a lot of people that like us over there and really sort of put us in the mix for things like that often. And, you know, they know that we're huge Bad Religion fans, and so, I mean, we were really, really honored and lucky to be a part of that compilation. There's some awesome bands on that thing. And I think the person who signed us to Bridge Nine, who was managing the label, he left Bridge Nine to go work at Epitaph. So we have a little bit of an in there, you know. So stuff like that comes along. Polar Bear Club's always sort of thrown in the mix. And we were super excited to do it. And I'm happy with how it turned out. And I was most happy to just be in the same sentence with a lot of those bands. I think, you know, the first two songs to come out was ours and Tegan and Sarah. So it was like all the little blurbs or whatever, the ads was all Tegan and Sarah and Polar Bear Club. It was awesome, you know, it's so cool. So, you know, hopefully some Tegan and Sarah and Ites got into some PBC, you know, through that compilation, who knows. But if not, it was just awesome to be in the same, you know, comp with them and all those bands as well.
Now, how'd you decide on the song Better Off Dead? And were there any others that were in the running? And of course, I also have to ask, favorite Bad Religion album?
There was definitely others in the running. I think what it came down to, we narrowed it down to four, and we just picked from a hat from there. I can remember Fertile Crescent. I can't remember what the other two were, but Fertile Crescent was big in the running for us. I love that song. And that's probably, I mean, Generator's probably my favorite Bad Religion record. But our drummer, I mean, I like Bad Religion, but our drummer is the big Bad Religion fan of the band. So that's really a question for him. You could probably sit here and be like, well. Yeah, definitely, man. That's very intimidating. So he'd be the guy to ask, and sort of he would analyze and sort of be like, well, this is good for this reason, this is that. But I like Generator. But so that's why I was pulling for Fertile Crescent. That's one of my favorite songs. But yeah, I think his album is, I don't know. I don't want to, he'll probably yell at me if I get it wrong, so I'm not going to guess.
That's fine.
Email follow-up, there we go.
How about you, Pirate?
Your favorite album, that is?
I really like New Maps of Hell, honestly. Huh? I did, I loved it. So 2010 is almost at an end, and what was your favorite album or albums that came out this year? What have you been listening to a lot on tour?
We listened to a lot is the Balance and Composure Tiger's Jaw split. Those two bands are great. Tiger's Jaw, new record, just came out, I think, or is about to come out. and I really want to check that out. But Balance and Composure is just such an awesome young band, whose record, new record, I love. And I'm trying to think of what else, other full lengths that come out. I'm really bad with new music, so this is a horrible question for me. But I guess we'll just leave it at that one. I mean, all I really listen to is Jimmy Eat World, Elvis Costello, and The Replacements. So.
Well, then the next question's for you then, and this is our last question, actually. So you're hopelessly stranded on an island and can only have one album to listen to the rest of your life. What is it?
That's a really hard question because I'm a very phasey person. Like, I go through really hardcore phases where I obsess over one record or one band for months and months and months at a time. It's all I can listen to, and then I sort of move on from there. I would eventually kill myself, eventually, because I'd get so sick of whatever it was. But if it was right now, if it was right this second, it would be this Elvis Costello's This Year's Model, probably. But if you asked me 6 months ago, it would have been Let It Be. And if you asked me 6 months before that, it would have been Futures, you know. And I'm so obsessive and phasey. I get obsessed with things for a long period of time where it's all I can think about, and then I sort of move on from there. So after about 6 months, I'd probably just end up killing myself. So, yeah.
Well, thank you, Jimmy. And I'm going to let JJ wrap this up, but I got to tell you, last year for 2009, when I did my top 10 list for my radio show, you guys, I don't remember off the top of my head, but you were in the top five with Chasing Hamburg. It played the hell out of the record.
Thank you so much.
So my fiance actually told me, she's like, you play this stuff too much. But I think it's a good record.
I'm sorry,
so
fiance.
I'm excited for the new record and whenever that may come out. So JJ, do you want to wrap this up?
Yeah, so this is JJ from Decent Exposure Radio for The Pirate, and thank you very much, Jimmy. We're signing off for Kick-Ass Friday.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Real quick, can you just record us like two promos for us?
Yeah, definitely, man.
Okay.
Yeah,
I just don't want